once again, we have another segment of Reclaiming History, airing on WOOC 105.3 FM in Troy and WOOS 98.9 in Schenectady. We have a very special guest on the line with us today.
Father David Vincent Marconi, PhD, is Associate Professor of Historical Theology as well as the Director of the Catholic Studies Center at St. Louis University. He is also the editor of Homiletics and Pastoral Review. He holds the pontifical license in Patrology from the University of Innsbruck in Austria, as well as his doctorate in ecclesiastical history from the University of Oxford. Father Marconi has published numerous books and articles on the early church and on St. Augustine of Hippo in particular. His most recent works include The Sermons of Peter Christologus, Rutledge, and the Cambridge Companion on Augustine's City of God, Cambridge University Press, and Augustine on Self-Harm, Narcissism, Atonement, and the Vulnerable Christ, Bloomberg Press. Father Marconi is the past fellow of Augustinian Institute at Villanova University and serves on the Ecclesiastical Board of Boston College.
Father, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Livonia, thank you for having me. Thank you for your fine work.
Listen, what an amazing body of work you've done over the years, especially talking about someone as famous as St. Augustine. For my listeners, tell them, why did you study him, and who is this man, St. Augustine?
Yeah, great question. Worth our attention. St. Augustine lived from 354, and he died in 430. He was an African theologian and bishop, but he is maybe known best for being somewhat of a ne'er-do-well early on. He was a bit of a fresh kid who got into a lot of trouble and was really trying to make his way in the world, a lot like any kid these days. But he took what we call the scenic route to sainthood, and he's important because he really did capture that early clash between Christian culture and Roman pagan culture, and I think emerged with a great charity and a great vision that is still very applicable for today. He left us 5.4 million words, which is about 300 books altogether. And so he's really worth reading. And I was first attracted to him when I was at Marquette University in my first theology class. And I read the Confessions, his life story, written about 397. It's really one of the first biographies that we have in Western literature. And it just opened up many, many ideas and insights for me. And so I've always found Augustine someone worth going to.
So is he relevant for today?
I think very much so. I would encourage any of your listeners to pick up the Confessions. I did an annotated version with Ignatius Press, and I don't get royalties, so I'm not plugging this for myself, but it's a really accessible text. It's a story of a young person trying to make his way in the world, but he writes it in such a way that he mutes the particulars to highlight the perennial. There aren't many names or places. It's really the story of any soul that's reflective. And I really want to argue that it's not so much an autobiography as it is what I call an omnibiography. This is every human person's story if we were to just take the time and look at who we are. And so I think he's very relevant. He begins by looking at the need for proper use of speech. As an infant, we learn how to speak correctly. The second book of the Confessions, to me, is one of the most amazing stories. He steals some pears late at night, not because he wanted them, not because he needed them, simply because it was forbidden. And he says, I loved my destruction. I was going to pieces, and I was in love with my own ruin. And I really think today, especially on a modern university campus, so many kids punish themselves with senseless behavior. They know it's not going to bring them happiness, but they do it anyway. And that's really where I focus a lot of my recent study on this notion of self-harm and self-loathing, because I do think it's very pertinent for today.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, in the field that I'm in, I work professionally as well as doing radio work. And oftentimes I talk to young people and they are troubled by the world that they're in. They're anxious about what's next. Will they get a job when they graduate? Is the career the right choice for them? Is this the right boyfriend or the right girlfriend for me?
Right.
And many of them are conflicted about how to free themselves from their parents' influence and how to strike out and make the right choices. So Augustine was like any other young person. From mm-hmm. your study of him, what motivated him and what changed the trajectory of his life?
Yeah, excellent question. He admits that what motivated him early on was trying to figure out the problem of evil. His mother was a Christian. His father was not. His mother was African. His father was Roman. So he's bridging a lot of cultures. And as a young person, he realized very deeply that this world was off. I mean, he saw war. He saw famine. He was firsthand experiencing all the woes of life, like any young person today who reads the newspapers or lives in a rough neighborhood. And Augustine was really motivated by the question, where does this evil come from? Who's responsible? And that led him to join what we would call a New Age cult for 9 years, a group called the Manichaeans, named after a Persian mystic, Mani, who lived in the 3rd century. And Augustine was never totally satisfied with the stories they told him, that evil came from, there was an evil God and there was a good God, and these two were in constant conflict. And Augustine started to search elsewhere, and he fell in with a group of philosophers who were reading people like Plato and one of Plato's great disciples later on named Plotinus. And this led Augustine actually to Milan, where he became the emperor's, basically his speechwriter, his kind of master of propaganda. And because he was so reflective and so intelligent, he started to read what the other intelligentsia of Milan were reading in the 4th century. And that led him to Bishop Ambrose. Ambrose of Milan was the great bishop. And for the first time, Augustine was able to see that to be a Christian meant to be able to use all of your intelligence and not just to mouth the words or to believe doctrines that didn't make sense. That he started to have an intelligent Christianity presented to him, and with that, his heart just opened up. And he sought baptism, he sought ordination to the Catholic priesthood, he started a monastic community. Everything started to flow from that convergence, if I can say, between faith and reason, between intelligence and scripture, and all the different things that Ambrose helped him see.
So, you know, he was essentially a boy from the hood.
He was, yeah.
Who right. traveled the world, you know, leaving his local home in North Africa. What country would he have been from if we were to map it out today? What part of Africa was he from?
Yeah, today it would be Algeria, Souk Ahras, this city not far from the coast. And Augustine was the bishop there. He grew up not far from there in a place called Tagaste, which is still discoverable. He went off to school, and he had basically a common law marriage, had a child, and that woman and that child accompanied him to Rome, where he took his first major teaching job. And even there, even though he's growing closer to the good, his mind becomes inflamed with senatorial aspirations. He gets rid of this lowly common wife in order to marry an aristocratic young girl in order to make his way up the social ladder. That never came to be. But you see that he really did, a boy from the hood, as you say, who's trying to make good by using worldly power. And, you know, Christians argue that, well, in God's providence, it wasn't to be, that he was stripped of all those things. His son died. The marriage with the aristocratic girl didn't come off, and he was planted, like I say, right in the center of Milan to be able to see the real kind of essence of the Christian faith.
So he's got baby mama drama, but still in the background, it seems as if he's still pursuing his studies. How does he then become the doctor of the church?
So for Augustine, education, the books, as you say, really was a study in rhetoric and oratory. He was trained how to use words persuasively, to win law cases, to get his way in the world. He left Italy with a new resolve to make those words of truth known. He said, "I left selling words in the demon marketplace." That was his working for the emperor, using words as a propaganda spin doctor. "And now I devote myself to the one true humble word," he calls Jesus Christ. And so when he came back to Africa in 388 or so, he started a monastic community. But that just wasn't to be. He was so eloquent and so effective that the bishop needed Augustine and ordained him bishop, priest and bishop in 391 and then 395. And so his understanding of words and education never really left him. It just became transformed into a haughty, from a haughty philosophical approach to more of a universal, if I can say, humble approach. And like you're so passionate about it, he opened up education more and more to the masses. And I think most of us believe that we can be B-plus people. And I think Augustine's great contribution to Christian thought is reclaiming the human soul as the stage upon which God acts, to take inventory of one's soul, to catalog the vices and the virtues each day. Augustine's confessions really are one way of portraying this drama within each of us. I would say that's his greatest contribution.
Father Bocconi, is there anything else that we've left out that you want our listeners to know, either about your upcoming books or work or St. Augustine?
As I heard myself say, this is Augustine's great contribution. His other great contribution really is that I think our world separates a sacred love from a secular love. But Augustine's point is, look, when you love your grandchildren, when you love your spouse, when you love your friends rightly, you are loving with God's very self. Therefore, that love is where God happens. And that was really, I think, Augustine's contribution. And he's known through this great gift of love.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on WOOC 105.3 FM in Troy, the Sanctuary, and WOOS 98.9 in Schenectady.
Livonia, thank you so much. God bless you and your listeners.